Bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from the Song of Mary, stanzas 1 and 4 through 6. Our souls shall magnify the Lord. In God the Savior we rejoice. And while we repeat the Virgin's song, may the same Spirit tune our voice. 1, 4, 5, and 6 of the Song of Mary.
Thank you. portion of God's Word that you can find recorded for this afternoon again out of Luke 2. And there we begin by verse 8. Luke 2 beginning by verse 8 through 20. And there came in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and a babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
We pray and ask for the help and blessing of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, that we may gather in thy sight, and may it also be in thy presence in this afternoon hour, and that it may be fulfilled as thou sayest, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And then they may be gathered upon the fields of Ephratah, and they were sitting there as those who were a long time in expectation, as we have heard it in the weeks that have gone by, and as it is also continuing even unto this day. For thou art the same, and thy church is the same over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Oh, that they also could be gathered, and yet in the midst of us who are looking and who are waiting for the fulfillment of thy holy word, also for us in a personal way. O Lord, then the heavens were opened in that night. Then a little bit of what takes place in heaven continually about thy throne was revealed here upon this sinful earth, and not to the high and the mighty in this world, but thou didst come unto thy own people, and thou didst reveal unto them that great wonder which would be for their salvation. O Lord, look upon us. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. O, we have forsaken thy glory. We have left it after being created in it, and we have desired the glory for ourselves.
and we have plunged ourselves into the deepest misery, a pit out of which we are not able to deliver ourselves. And we sing the glory of our own name in so much hypocrisy so often, under cover of religion and of thy truth. O Lord, thou knowest that we are as a beast before thee. O show to us our wretchedness, show to us our sin, that there may be a need in our hearts for that blessed babe to be born, always in a stable, in a filthy stable, and laid in a manger. O Lord, could it be that also in this day there is such a prepared place in the midst of us, one who must smite upon his breast and to say, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, that there may be felt that wretchedness of a sin and all its consequences, the filth of it and the guilt of it, and that we may come truly in the dust before thee, and for the first time, but also by renewal. And then we have placed ourselves on the outside, and there is no coming in anymore, except through that babe, except through that child, except through that humanity. Oh, that there may be those who may look upon it in this day with a blessed eye of faith for a moment, that they might see something of that goodwill toward men, the goodwill of God, the goodwill of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, that he is willing to receive such ones back into his favor, back into his communion. Oh, that there may be a little encouragement in the midst of all despondency and despair of hope, that thou wouldest reveal thyself in the midst of thy true church. And when it is but an outward celebration, which we may make once again of this day, and of this most blessed event in thy spiritual kingdom, and then we turn everything upside down, and we can do nothing but this because we are carnal and because we are vain creatures. But Lord, make it true. Make it true for the first time. Make it true by renewal. Look upon both young and old, the children. And then he was born as a babe. O Lord, give that their hearts also may be born again, and that that child may receive a place also within them. And the youth, all of us together, remember us, Lord, and when we have so many times heard thy word in our life, and also this blessed word, then thou art able to make it new in a moment, that thou mayst do so in the midst of us. Remember all the afflicted and the sick ones which multiply in the midst of this world. Oh, bring thy judgments, could it please thee, into our hearts, and that it may humble us deeply before thee. Oh, that we may be given a place at thy footstool to humble ourselves and to confess that we have erred from thee. Oh, bring us as a nation and as nations back unto thee, O Lord. Remember all that mourn, for they also do multiply. Oh, help, Lord, be on the right and on the left hand in thy mercy, when there are so many tears and so many sorrows, that to fill the families in the midst of this world. O grant unto us together to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Extend thy kingdom unto the length and the breadth of this whole world, and leave us not behind as a congregation, denomination, and as a people. But wilt thou have mercy upon us and glorify thy name in our hearts. Oh, that that glory to the highest may not be sung only by those angels who could not sing it in its highest pitch, because they know not what it is to be on the bottom of that pit. But wilt thou give that we might learn to sing it as those who have been delivered out of an horrible pit and the miry clay, and whose feet have been set upon a rock, and when the Lord has established our goings. O Lord, grant it unto young and old. Help us in this afternoon. Grant us strength to do this labor once again, when thou dost bring us once more upon this pulpit. O, could it please thee to strengthen us once again for the labors of our hands, and to fill us undeservedly with thy Holy Spirit, and give us to speak in an edifying way, and grant the unction of thy Spirit for the need of our souls. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 200, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. And what follows? 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 200.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, of Christ John said that he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That is a special judgment. That is to be in the world, and that the world does not know him. That is to be almost saved. What shall eternity be if we have been almost saved? There were many that lay around that pool of Bethesda, and they saw the power, they witnessed the power of those moving waters, but they did not step into those waters in time. Thus, they never experienced the power of those moving waters for themselves. Every member of the visible church is so very, very close to heaven. They are, as it were, in the porch, in the very porch of heaven. And then that gospel message is coming to their ears, because the apostle says that faith cometh by hearing. Close, very close. But close is not enough. Bunyan writes that he saw that there was a way to hell, even from the gates of heaven, as well as from the city of destruction. What did he mean? That hell, that it will be filled with persons who are not only of the world, but it will be filled with persons who have been in the visible church of God, in the porch, who have come so very, very close. Christmas, that is a very joyous season. But if we miss the application, our joy is very superficial. And it is also vain. It is empty. May the Lord give to us in this day a heart of self-examination, to see whether our own heart has ever received as that stable so many years ago, and that Christ child. We wish, with the Lord's help, to speak a little this afternoon from the portion that was read to you, Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." So far, the words of our text. Christmas tidings. First, to whom these Christmas tidings come?
Second, what these Christmas tidings declare. And third, how these Christmas tidings are received. Christmas tidings, first, to whom they come. Second, what they declare. And third, how they are received. As first, to whom these Christmas tidings come. Who did they come to? Children, you will say, they came to, we read it once again, they came unto the shepherds. That is right. And the shepherds, they do what? They do watch over, care for their sheep. Are they the rich men? Are they the wise men of this world? You say, no, it is just the opposite. An honest calling, even though it is lowly in the world, that is good religion. Even though men are despised for it in the world. These shepherds are faithful. We read that they are keeping watch over their flock by night. The Lord Jesus thanked his Father. He says, I thank thee, O my Father, Lord of heaven and earth, and that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it is good in thy sight. That is good with the Father, that the wise and the prudent of this world are passed over, and that it is going out to those, we would say, who are simple. These shepherds are very highly favored. Do you think they thought that, young people, when they were sitting there on that field and when they had to care that night for their sheep, do you think that they felt like those who were highly favored persons in this world from the Lord? I don't think so. I don't think so. How often is it not so with God's children? No, they do not see that favor. And they say, how can that be? And they are like Gideon. They say, if the Lord has favored us, then why are we then in the condition that we are? And yet these men, they are highly favored by the Lord. It is very dark. It is dark in nature. It is dark also in their hearts. We do not have to think that these were just ordinary men, like all other men in this world. They have maybe seemed so ordinary to other persons that would go by. They may even be despised by so many other persons, and that may go by. But these are not just ordinary men. Who are they? They are babes. And they are the Lord's babes. They are the Lord's children. And they are they who are watched over by the Lord. They watch their flock, but they also belong to a flock. Or maybe they would not dare to say that. And yet the Lord knows who are His. And the Lord is watching over them, the same as He is watching over each and every one of His own. Do they all know that? Would they all dare to say that they are one of that flock? Oh, many times not. Many times that is hid from them. And they are sitting themselves as those shepherds in that darkness. And now in that dark night, the Lord is going to come. Do they know that? No, they do not know that. When they went out to that field, there with their flock, then they thought that this night was going to be just like every other night. They did not know that there was a heavenly blessing and that the Lord had in store for them, and that this was a night that they were never going to forget in their life. What would they have said if you had told them that as they went out there with their sheep? When you had said to these men, O men, the Lord is going to come this night. The Lord is going to speak to you this night. You are going to receive a special favor from the Lord. Or then they would look at you and they would say, oh, do not deceive me. No, that cannot be. I cannot believe that. There is no reason to think so. If you said the Lord was going to come there to Jerusalem, if the Lord was going to appear in that city of Jerusalem, then they may say, yes, or I think that may be. If you would say the Lord is going to appear unto the Pharisees and unto the scribes, and they say, oh, I can believe it, that the Lord would appear unto his people. Congregation, the Lord is a surprising God. Always a surprising God in the life of his children. And then it is such a surprise to them when the Lord comes, because it is in the night. It is in the darkness. It is in their hopelessness. It is in their despair. And then it is always a surprise to them to whom the Lord is coming. Or it is a surprise that the Lord is coming and that he is appearing, and that he is speaking, and that he is a giving a blessing, even unto me. Would that be a wonder to you if the Lord would come? Would it be a wonder to you if the Lord would speak unto your soul? Do you say that would be the greatest wonder if among all these people in the house of God, that the Lord would look upon me? Or do you think you have a right to that? If the Lord makes us a sinner before God, then we do not have any rights. But do you know what we also lose? We also lose so often our expectation. Our expectation. When we become a sinner before God. Because there we lay in our unworthiness. A man doesn't see any reason why that the Lord should come and grant a blessing, grant a favor, grant a word, grant a token to one who is unworthy of it. I cannot see that. Keeping watch over their flock by night. We have heard, congregation, in the past weeks of the Advent Church. The Advent Church. And now that time, we have heard, is a time that can be so long. Because the wheels of the providence of the Lord, they are wheels that often turn very, very slowly. But we said those shepherds, they are watching over their flock by night. And in that night, then there will be no wolves. There will be no enemies of the sheep that are going to scatter that flock. No matter how long that night lasts, those shepherds will be faithful. They are their own sheep. Is the Lord then less faithful than these shepherds are faithful to their flock? Is the Lord less faithful to His own flock, that the Lord would not watch over that people while they are waiting? Temporary faith is in a hurry. That's in a hurry. That is something the Lord Jesus says, it goes down and it has no root and it comes up quickly. It is in a hurry. The Lord is not in a hurry. The Lord is not in a hurry. What will happen then to His people? Will they defect then? Will they be lost then? Oh, the Lord will not allow it. The Lord Himself will keep His people. And He will keep them in that night and throughout that night for many of them. That is lasting a long time. A long time before the Lord is coming and before that they may experience for themselves what it means for Christ to be born in their heart. To whom these tidings come. What do we read? We read that these shepherds are sore afraid. That is to whom they come. Sore afraid. And why are they so afraid? We read, because there was a great light. Did light ever make you afraid? You'll say, boys and girls, light does not make me afraid. I'm afraid when it is dark. You say, now it is light. Why would it be that light would make these shepherds afraid? You say, light is something that takes away our fear. But this light that is not just a natural light. No, that is a supernatural light. What do we read? And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. That's a supernatural light. It is a divine light. A light from heaven. And the glory of the Lord is shining all around these men in that night. That makes those shepherds tremble. Why? Well, because they feel something of the fact that it is a supernatural light. That it is a divine light. Thus they feel something of what? They feel something of the presence of the Lord. It is a divine majesty. It is a holy God. It is a righteous God. And they are placed and have to stand in that light that is emanating from Him. You read in the Bible that there shall be no need of the sun. Why? Because the Lord God is the light of heaven. And it is that light of the Lord God that is opened, an opening in heaven. And it is coming down, and that majesty makes these men of God to tremble. They are sore afraid. Were you ever so afraid? Religion, congregation, is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And what is felt? Something of that presence. Something of that holiness and the majesty of God must be felt by us in our life. And then we do not speak about the measure. We do not speak about the amount. That is not the important part. But we speak about the truth of it. We speak about the substance of it. Did we ever tremble at the majesty of the Lord? How does the Lord do that? How does the Lord make a man to feel that he is standing in his presence? He does that by giving light. Light. He shines that light today. No, that is no more in an outward way. But he is shining that light upon his word. You ever read that word, young people? You say, my father reads it when we eat. Yes, but do you read it? Why do we say that? Because that is the means. But how do you read it? Say, well, that is my duty. I quickly get that finished. But wait a moment. Wait a moment. Do you know what we need? Do you know what you need to be begging for and to be asking for? Light. Light. Light from heaven, a supernatural light that may shine upon that word of God. And in that moment, you will feel something. What will you feel? You will feel that God is alive. You will feel that God has written this word. That it is not just the word of men. The Lord will give faith in your heart. That you may believe that word of God. Oh, you will tremble. You will tremble within. And you stand in awe at the majesty and at the holiness of God. Do not talk about the measure. Do not talk about the amount. You talk about the truth of it. Then that is powerful. Powerful how? As it is powerful, you say, as a storm can be. It can also be powerful as the dew. It is also powerful. Still, small voice. But to feel something and to stand in awe at the presence of the Most High God, at His Word, at His law. Shepherds love the Lord. Do you love the Lord? But do you know what they felt? They cannot stand before Him. Oh, they love the Lord. But when the Lord's angel came near to them, then they felt that they were not able to stand in the presence of that God. Why not? Sin. Sin. They felt that. And they were sore afraid. That is now to whom those tidings come. But what do those tidings declare? And the angel said unto them, fear not, fear not. They are now the Christmas tidings. Fear not. Is that now spoken to every person in this world? No. No. You know what the Bible says? That the angel said it unto them. Unto them. And yet it was not only to them, because that angel says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So what does that mean? Does that mean that there are tidings of great joy in Christmas to each and every single person in the world? That is not so. That is not so. What does that angel say? He says, fear not. Does the Lord say that to everyone in the world? That is not necessary, because so many do not fear. And there are many who ought to fear. No, the Lord says it to them. And He says it to all people. What does that mean? That means that it will be more than just to them. It will be to each and every one as they are, also among the Gentiles. So not only among the Jewish people, no, but it will be to all people. But He does not bring His word of consolation to them who do not fear. Fear not. And when the Lord is revealing Himself for the first time, as it is here, to the world, to His people in the world, and when He reveals Himself for the first time to His people still today, then what is He doing? He is showing unto them the foundation of their consolation. Why is it that He says, fear not? How is it now possible that these shepherds may stand without fear? Oh, was that not their darkness? Was that not the darkness of their soul? That they knew not how that they could exist before that holy God? They trembled before Him. And now that angel declares why that they did not have to fear. That is now what the Lord reveals unto His people. Did He ever reveal it unto you? In your fear? In your trembling? In your darkness? For He says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And now we enter into a mine. A mine. What is a mine, children? Maybe you've gone once to a mine, a coal mine. You're finding precious coal or a gold mine or other pearls or things that are found, precious stones that are found in a mine. And here is a mine. The Word of God is a mine. But here is a mine, just in these few words. A mine that has not carnal treasures, but it is a mind that has eternal treasures. What does he say? For unto you. Is that not a mine? You may ask the people who have experienced that in their life whether that is now a precious stone that has been revealed unto them. That is now the word that that heavenly being, that angel spake directly unto these shepherds. And they had a living impression where that angel was from. That was not his own word. That is a word that comes from God. That's a word that comes from the Lord. And what is the Lord saying unto them? He says, for unto you. That is what the Lord does. Did the Lord ever say that to you? Did he ever show it unto you? Our fathers say not only to others, but to me also. That is a great wonder. That is a wonder that is being experienced on the day of Christmas, when Christ is being born in the heart of a man. Then he experiences something of the suitability of that blessed person, not only for others, but also for me. That darkness was not for the case of others, which to them was not unsolvable, but that darkness was over my own case. And now the Lord says, for unto you. They say, is that possible? That it is for me also? But the Lord points that people out in his word. Who that they are. And he makes that person to be precious and suitable unto them, for whom it had become so impossible. For unto you, oh, how those shepherds have looked upon that angel in holy wonderment, as the people also are looking upon that word, upon God's servant speaking that word, when they may hear that in their heart from heaven, in a holy wonderment. And then there is a certain peace that they feel in their heart in that moment. A certain peace. And where are they standing? Oh, they feel it. They are standing in the presence, in the glory, in the majesty of God. And they feel in that place a certain peace. Is that not a wonder? Because Israel by Sinai did not feel that. When the Lord came down and they stood in his presence, they fled. That is the fear of that people. Sore afraid. And then the Lord speaks, "For unto you." And then even as they stand there, and then the Lord is opening to them the foundation of that peace, of that consolation, and he gives them to feel something of it, even the smallest part of it, in that moment. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." What does that angel declare? What does the Lord by his Spirit declare to that people? The humanity, the blessed humanity of the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, then he shows to them what a fitting Savior, what a fitting mediator that he is for their soul, born this day, born in this world, come in the flesh, joined himself unto that human race, that he may represent that people, that he may be a substitute for that people, that he may be a surety, that he may be a mediator between God and the soul, and then standing in that moment in awe, when there is light upon that word of truth, and when you feel something in that moment of the presence of that holy God. And then that wonder, the wonder of his word of truth, who that Son of God was come to be, that Son of Man. Oh, how a fearing soul wonders at this. When it is revealed, say in the word of God, yes. But it is not like we read it every day, no. It is in those few moments the Lord comes. Few times. Once have I heard this. Twice have I heard this. Or when the Lord is coming with his Spirit to shine upon that word of God, and then away. A way goes open for the people. In that darkness, they could not see that way before. But now they see a way that is opening. Hope, hope in their poor soul. Then they begin to sing. Let us sing 262, 1, 2, and 3. Unto God our Savior, sing. A joyful song. Wondrous are his doings, for his arm is strong. And what follows? 1, 2, and 3 of 262. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. What meaning, congregation, would this have had to these shepherds? In the city of David. Well, those shepherds are well acquainted with the promise of the Lord. Thus, they have heard that promise so many times in their life. And they are given also themselves to wait upon it. But here, this angel speaks about the fulfillment of that promise. Thus, he says, "For unto you is born this day in that city of David." Thus there is a new life that is breathed into that promise. How long have they and how often have they not despaired that that promise ever would take place? And maybe sometime far into the future. But now the angel speaks about its fulfillment. It is no different today. How many times have God's children not heard that Christmas story? How many times have they not heard about the name of that Savior? Oh, that is the promise of the Lord for whom? For His people. And what does the Lord now do when the Lord is coming to make that child to be born in their heart, to come to give light upon that word of truth? Oh, then the Lord is infusing, as it were, a new life into that word. He takes what they have always known to be an objective truth. We teach it to our children from the days of their childhood. What they have always known, but what has meant so little perhaps. And the Lord makes it subjective. He enlivens their soul that it may take hold of that promise of the Lord concerning that blessed Savior. Oh, He gives the fulfillment of it in their heart. He makes that child Himself to be born in their heart when He is opening to them the mystery of free and sovereign grace. How that they can stand in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior? That is now what that people need. Why does it now take so long for the Lord to reveal that Savior unto His people? Because the Lord is waiting until that need is fully felt in their heart. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, it is such a wonder if that people may receive just a moment's glance into what this means, which is Christ the Lord, this wonderful heavenly tiding. Christ the Lord. We teach it in catechism, right, young people? You know what Jesus means, Savior, children, and Christ, anointed, anointed. Two things included in the anointing, right? What are they? That He was appointed. And that He was qualified. Oh, if this may only come into our heart. as it may come into the heart of his people. Where does the salvation of God's people begin? Not with Christ. It begins with the Father. He has desired it. He has desired it. And he has decreed it. That is not just something that has happened in a haphazard way, no. It has begun in eternity. Do you know what the Father knew? Fearing people. He knew that his fallen creature could not deliver themselves out of the pit into what which they had brought themselves. He knew that. He knew that. But he has desired to bring that people again into that holy presence. How shall he do that? Oh, he has looked for one. He has sought for one. And he has found one. I have laid help upon one that is mighty, mighty. Here I am, said he, send me. And then what did the Father do? He appointed him. He appointed him. He did not appoint us. He could not appoint us. He did not appoint you, fearing people. Could not appoint you. But he has appointed one that is mighty. Appointed him to do what? To do what you could not do. To do what you would not do. To keep his law. To pay the price. To pay the penalty in full. What his children could not do. It is a marvel. It is a marvel when the people, when the Lord is shedding a little light upon that word of truth, and when they have come into such an impossibility and into such a despair, when they had to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? When it is only to be cast away that is possible for this wretched sinner. When all hope from the side of man is lost. When we have lost all our wisdom and all our strength and all our righteousness. And when it has become hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. And then the Lord says, I have appointed someone, and I have appointed him to do a very special work. And now for the eye of faith to look for a moment on that appointment of the Father. Christ not only appointed, but also qualified. The Father said, I will give him all the gifts. I will give my spirit unto him in full measure. He shall have a humanity from me that he can do it in your flesh. He shall retain his perfect holiness. He shall retain his divinity. I will put them together. Emmanuel, God with us. I will qualify him so that there shall be nothing lacking to accomplish this work, that I may bring that people and that have come into that miry pit, that horrible pit and that miry clay. And I will bring them out of that pit, and I will put them on that rock, because they cannot get out of that pit. Christ, Christ the Lord, anointed, appointed, and qualified to save his people from their sins. How much does a man get to see of that? Said children, is like a mine. A mine. You go in the mine, you say there is a precious stone. Then what do you want to do? You say there must be more. There must be more. And then you say, we hold on to that one and we go look for more. That is the way it is. And if the Lord gives you one of those precious stones and the Lord shows you just a little bit, what is now in this child, this gift of God, then what do that people do? Oh, then they want more. That is now how those tidings are received. What do they say? Let us now go. Let us now go. Even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord made known unto us. Tidings of great joy. That is how it is experienced. And now what does that soul want to do? He longs to know that Savior. The Lord has shown that Savior. How much? Oh, the one gets to see a little bit. The one gets to see a little bit more. The one this, the one that. Sometimes they speak about it to each other. The Lord is free. But every one of them, they get a little glimpse. And every one of them, they receive that same desire. Let us go. What do they want? Oh, they want to see more of him. They want to fall down before him. And they want to worship him. Oh, they want to receive out of his fullness. They want to be taught by him because of their ignorance. And they want to be forgiven by him through his priesthood. And they want to be ruled by him as the king. Oh, let us go. Then they receive what? They receive a holy boldness. A holy boldness. Are those people bold? No, they are not bold like this world. They are made meek and lowly by the knowledge of sin. Did the Lord ever make you so? They're not bold like this world. So how do you get that people in their timidity who are fearing to come into that presence when they feel that holy majesty of God? So they do not dare to step over a straw. How do you get that people to draw near unto him? Oh, the Lord knows how to do it. To bring an Esther into his chamber. Do you know what the Lord said to those shepherds? Go to the palace. Right, children? You say, no. Go to the palace. Then they said, no, we cannot go there. What did they do? What did the Lord say? He says, you go to that stable. Ah. That That was so fitting for those men, wasn't it? That stable. They are used to that. And you know how they can go there? They can go there just the way they are. Just the way they are. They did not have to change their clothes and then go to that stable. Oh, do you see now what the Lord does for his people? When the Lord is opening this up a little bit for their people, in their darkness, when they do not know how that they can appear before him, do you see what the Lord is doing? Oh, then the Lord is coming so low, and the Lord is giving to them a Savior in his humanity. In his humanity. And he is drawing the people onto the footstool of the divine King. It is the footstool of God. Of God. As a little babe in a stable, where those men, meek, lowly, sinful, and yet they love the Lord. They cannot stand before him. Then the Lord says, go find him there, in that stable. And then they may do it. Oh, do you see what the Lord is doing? And how the Lord is drawing that people? He is giving them light in their mind. Of that word of truth, he is moving their bowels to give them feeling and love for that mediator. And he gives them a choice in their will. He makes them a willing people in the day of his power. And then what do they say in that moment? That moment of faith when they may see him. Oh, then they say, let us go. Oh, is there anything anymore that can keep me away from the footstool of that blessed Savior? Shall then any of my iniquity keep me away from him? If he has been appointed by the Father himself to wash away and to take away all the punishment, if he has been anointed by the Father and qualified by the Father to remove my guilt, must I then fear? Must I then try to take it away before that I come to his footstool? Oh, do you see how the Lord is drawing that people? When man cannot draw him, then they say, can he be angry with me if I would draw near unto him just as I am? If he is appointed by the Father, will he then turn me away? Oh, let us go, is what is in the heart of that people. And so they are invited. That soul feels it. That invitation to come unto that child and unto God himself through that child. That blessed Savior, oh, that day of Christmas. No, it is not the day that they say, I possess everything. Oh, it is the day that they receive a little light and a little hope. It is the day that they receive light upon the Son of Man. It is the day they receive love for Jesus. For Christ, It is the day they begin. They first begin to seek that Savior. Tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, all such as they, throughout the whole world. Or are there such as those shepherds also in our midst? Also in our midst, who are not strangers of their darkness, who are not strangers of their fear, who are not strangers of what sin is, of what grief for sin is, who are not strangers of waiting, and who are not strangers of light. A little light, a little speck, a little ray that has shined upon that word of truth, on that blessed Son of Man. And then you have a joy. Then you have a joy in your soul for one moment. Oh, for some it has lasted a little longer. For days, you say, for weeks I lived in it. And then it was gone. Then it was gone. But you remember it and you relish it. And you desire that the Lord would come again. Oh, He has not turned you away in that moment. In that moment, then you felt, and then you experienced what it was to be welcome. To be welcome in that stable by that child, by the Son of God, that mighty one. Oh, if we may know what that is, then we shall not be turned away at that gate of heaven. At the gate of heaven. Do you know what Christ said to His disciples? He said, "My Father loveth you, because ye have loved Me, and because ye have believed that I came out from God." That is the faith that the Lord is giving by that light, the light of His Holy Spirit, that He comes out from God. And then the soul believes that you say it was long ago, and yet you cannot deny it. Then the soul believes it. And these shall not be turned away from that gate of heaven. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, grant us each together that holy jealousy of the portion of Thy people, but also to experience it for ourselves, that blessed Christmas, what it was for those shepherds, it must become for each and every one of us in the application. Oh, keep us from vanity, even in religion. Give us to feel something. Give us to know something in our heart. And that Thou Thyself would glorify Thy own name within. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We may acknowledge Thee for Thy help this hour. Blessed Lord, give us meditation in the rest of this day, and give us to come together on Thy holy day. Help all that take the active part, and grant us the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 306 stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise his name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord, his name adore, from this time forth forevermore, from this time forth forevermore. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 306.
blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.